Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Guess what? When you accept Jesus, how many of you do anything else? I mean, do you just say the sinner prayer, or do you somehow just, you know, you believe somebody led you to Christ? Is that all there is, besides going to read the Bible? Or is there some other stuff, you know, we hear about prophecy, we hear about prophesizing, we hear about, when you read the Bible, that Jesus healed people, and the apostles healed people. Occasionally you hear stories about people getting miraculously healed. You might hear about the speaking in tongues and everything. Have you ever personally sought this? Let's for a moment not worry too much about what your pastor may say about these things. We're talking about you and God. We're talking about you and Jesus. It's your life, and you need to find out what you want to do with your life and your walk with Jesus. What is this thing that people call tongues? What is this thing that we often hear, walking in the Spirit, or operating in the gifts of the Spirit? Is this just for a selected few? Or is it something that you can have? Is it something that God wants you to have? Is it perfectly, completely God's will that you have it? Is it required? Some people will say you have to have it. Well, no, it's not required. What's required is John 3:16. Whosoever believes shall have eternal life. Now, but this Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is what Jesus does. Nobody else can do it, although people can lay hands on you, and you can at that point receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not man that's doing it. This is a thing that Jesus does. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Man baptizes you in water. So any time, at any place basically, usually it's by appointment, but it doesn't have to be. Any place there's water. And if you don't have enough water, hey, anything will do, but you know, it's still the whole idea of the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter if you want to try to find doctrine or specifics or literalism of it. What matters is what can you do? The person on the cross at the one side that Jesus said, today you'll see you in paradise, he wasn't baptized in water. The circumstances were pretty much it. When you come to the point where you feel like you want to be baptized in the water because you're reading the scripture and you're hearing people telling you things, this is a symbolism of the death. You died, so you fell into the water, you get buried. So you're death and you're buried, and then you resurrect, you come out of the water. This is the symbolism of baptism in water. Sprinkling isn't baptism of water. Baptizing your baby has nothing to do with anything except maybe make the parents feel good. You might be committing your child to God, but it's going to be the child's choice. And often, when you commit your child to God as a baby, there's a good chance that that baby will grow and accept Jesus one day. It doesn't always work that way, but because there's nothing in this when you don't know anything. See, parents, friends, pastors, religious leaders of any kind or whatever has nothing to do with the actuality of you and God. And are you going to get there or not? And how are you going to stick with it and everything? Everybody can give you a lot of advice. We got tons and tons of advice. How to stay saved, how to live saved, how to whatever. This and that about this thing. We've got lots of doctrine and everything, but ultimately it's going to come to you. So you've got to decide sometimes on issues that maybe you think that maybe at least others tell you not to think about. And some people will tell you, hey, you know, if you study about this or that, you're studying the ways of Satan. And you shouldn't be doing that. Well, studying and learning about facts of real life and things is not studying about Satan. You're not going in to learn these things to participate in Satan worship or worshiping of other gods. There are things around you that may be very important that you know about, because we are not your ordinary Christians. Did you know that? No matter who you think you are or who you think any other Christian is in this world, we're different than every Christian that went before us. This means that every Christian that has died so far, we're different from them, because we're the last days Christian. Now, there are Christians still dying regularly. Well, they're still a part of yesterday's Christians. They're the ones that's going to die believing in Christ and guaranteed to get cleaned up enough in death and going through death's gate, getting washed in the, literally washed in the blood. You know, when we accept Jesus, we're symbolically washed in the blood, so that when God looks at us and somebody's pointing his finger saying, look at the sin this guy's doing, and then God looks and says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I can see is Jesus-ness, because that's all God can see. He sets himself up so that if you accept Jesus and he looks at you, he sees Jesus. So no matter how much your pastor or anybody else wants to point sins out, God can't see them actually, because he put specialized blinders on for himself to only be able to see Jesus, because you've accepted him, and this is the symbolic washed in the blood. You're not really washed in the blood. Don't ever get the idea that you are washed literally, because you're not. Washing means you get clean, and God says your righteousness is as filthy rags. You aren't gonna get clean unless you're literally scrubbed in the blood. And you get this when you die and you don't come back. Near-death experiences aren't getting you washed. They may get you to see a lot of stuff, but you don't get to go through the washing machine. But you need to understand that there are differences in what's going on and what people say. And you're the one that's got to deal with your faith. It is you, not your mother, not your father, not your pastor, not anybody else, that's going to be getting you step by step to heaven. And at any moment of any day, information and other facts can come to you, and you might believe them because of the... it looks real. So, one of these days, with all these deceptions going on, you may be looking over there, and here's this wonderful guy out there, and he's doing lots of good stuff, and it seems like the world's going along with him, and the things that you're hearing, and you're trying to review some of the stuff, you say, hey, he might be Jesus after all. Maybe a little bit slightly different than maybe I thought it would, but hey, you know, he certainly can't be Satan. The deceptions are going to get you to choose on your will who you're going to be for. And you're going to turn your back on Jesus. Now, these events are coming along. And if you rely on your pastor, if you rely on friends, if you rely on your little Christian group, this is good. This is wonderful. You can learn a lot. But you can't rely on them to get you to heaven. They may be helpful, but you need to figure out some things for yourself. You need to be ready and to listen and willing to learn and to be able to discern. And discerning is a problem. And it gets worse if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. but it's not a whole lot. See, it's not necessarily worse, because that might be a misunderstanding of the word worse. It is, because when you're just accepted Jesus and you're just a Christian and decades are going by, you still have the workings of several different kinds of spirit activities. You got your own spirit. And your own spirit is almost, in a kind of funny way, to try to understand it like a different person than you. And thinking your own spirit could be sitting on your shoulder, as it were, and telling you this is that, this is the other thing, and so forth and so on. I mean, your conscious state has got to grasp all this input. All we got is input. We can't do much anything else. We're just a physical thing here walking around, you know, Johnny Five and that robot thing. Input! The TV, you know, turns on, flip the channel. Remember that robot thing? Input! Input! You know. That's what we are. Input device. And our spirit's in there. And our soul and all these kind of stuff. And there's lots of stuff out there. You got Satan. You got all the demons. And then you got some phenomena that is hard to understand. Are there really ancient beings from pre-Adam, as it were, that Satan created? There is some information out there, some really vagueness in the Bible. So you can't really use the Bible to confirm a lot of it. It's just that the Bible says stuff that means there's a whole bunch of stuff out there we don't have a clue about, because the Bible is saying, gee, there's something out there that's relating to other, as it were, beings that's not angels. That's not God. That's not Jesus. That's not demons. And so, it's a confusing thing. It's better, in a way, not to deal with that, except that if you don't deal with it, they will be a good part of the deception. And they will be able to influence you, and you may have this idea that it's God. Because you are supposed to discern the spirits. There's the God side, and there's the evil side headed by Satan. Now, can you imagine the cell phones that we have around there? Cell phone towers going up everywhere. All these radio, television, and all that, the signals, our brains at least can't conscientiously tune into these things, so we don't hear a mess of conversations and seeing all kinds of video from the TVs and all. We're just not receiving that. Our receiver isn't, at least with our capabilities, able to do that. These still are going around. May have no effect whatsoever on us, or just make us irritable. Who knows what it is? They like to say the cell phone. You know, we went through a long period of time where they were saying the cell phone was making you cancer. It's so close to your ear, it's transmitting and so forth. And that's kind of washed by. We don't hear too much about that anymore. And there's theories about these cell phone towers might have a dual purpose, to be transmitting things that are actually tuned. Because the cell phone waves are something they discovered back in the 1950s about human brain waves. They're very similar in the frequency. And it was developed or learned about in the 1950s, and since then, of course, it's 2007. They've come a long way. And during this period of time, they have actually had some great progress in how to manipulate, as it were, brain waves, transmit into. Most of it is in the area where we can only lay aside as conspiracy theories, but there are a lot of things that is not very easily explained, that something's going on. And we have all of this stuff here in the physical, all these transmissions going on. Then you have all the demons and the other things we call supernatural. We got this phenomena we call ESP, which is probably no more than a part of demons or any other kind of spiritual activity there. There's also the science involvement here of knowing that we're actually not using much of our noggin up here, and there's quite a bit of capability. There's all kinds of stories about all kinds of phenomena going out there, and how much is true and how much isn't. So if you're a Christian, you either say you're not going to believe any of it, or you can pick and choose parts that you want to believe. It doesn't matter how much stuff is out there. The thing is, whether you believe or not, it's there. No matter how much of an atheist you are, God is still there. God is still real. Jesus still died for your sins. And so it doesn't matter that you don't believe. What matters is this is happening. So you can maybe want to erase 9/10 of all this jargon I'm talking about that's out there that can influence you, and you still have the stuff that where you're supposed to be discerning. When you hear it inside your head, or you feel it inside your head and heart and stuff, that doesn't mean God. You know, often I talk about a God button. Now, there is something that is actually a scientific fact. They've found something in the body of some sort of thing, a gland of some sort, or a thingy, which seems to be able to get, as it were, bigger for the more religious the person is, as it were. Now, we have no idea about lots of sort of things and everything. However, my point is, there is something, see, we're physical, we can't get to the supernatural, as it were, we can't get to the spirit world. We have no ability, we can't feel God, impossible, we're physical. So God made a, as it were, an organ that is inside our body, that's a fleshly thing, and this is it has a way that physical things can touch it, as it were, whether they be thoughts or whatever, that will cause you to feel physical. Now, we've all experienced various things. I remember going to a drag race one time. I'd never been one before. I'd seen them on TV, you know, the big wheelie things, those funny little wheels, bicycle wheels in front, big old gigantic wheels in the back, and the whole front end goes up and they go down. Well, it's really interesting to go there and hear the roar of that noise, the power of that thing. Just like if you're standing there and watching the shuttle go up in the air and you're really close to it, the power of the immensity of what it is penetrating your entire building, being, and literally tears, and it feels like somebody's loving you. It feels like there's a being there. It's God. That's almost all you could say is, it's God. Because it's a button. It's a physical button. People know how to touch it, push it, and make you believe in God, as it were. Other religions work because the stories of the religions and the foundations of them can push that button. God put that button so we could feel Him. Did you know that? We have a physical part of our body that it is something that God can kind of squeeze or something. But it's not exactly like that, just when He walks by. He's close to you. Guess what? That button or whatever, I don't know what you want to call it, feels God, and it puts stuff in our body like tears of joy and stuff physical, you know. We see something happen, disaster happen, whatever, lost a loved one, and all of a sudden we're flooded with this kind of sadness or whatever. Something affects our emotional situation, and this button kind of God button affects this kind of emotional thing. And it also attributes to, we can hear Him and all these other kinds of stuff. There's lots of stuff that is built into our bodies that God made so that we can fellowship with Him. Every human has that ability to fellowship with God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, even though we're physical and He's spirit. And you're supposed to be able to discern. As a Christian, the discerning doesn't come because it feels like, oh, it just seems like, oh, well, it's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with it. This is not discernment. It's part of it. You can discern, well, it feels like, feels bad, feels good. I don't like it, you say, because I have in my gut feeling,
And you often think this is discernment. To some degree it is, because we have this intuitiveness of able to discern right and wrong, as it were, or things of this nature. But it's not. God things are Bible, people. When are you going to ever figure this out? You can't wish something. You can't guess something. You can't say, God told me. If God told you, now maybe he did, but if you cannot get it out of the Bible and show somebody this and that and the other thing about that, it is hopefully God showed you. It's probably God showed you. There's no evidence that it can ever get to anybody, but God did show me. It's not something that you can actually tell somebody else for absolutely sure God told you, because you cannot go to the Bible, pick it up, and say, there it is. It fits all the criteria that's in the Bible. God talks a lot about things, a lot on the personal level and so forth, that might be really hard to find in the Bible. So you got to be really working at your discernment capabilities. You got the gift of discernment. Don't abuse it. Use it. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you still have these things working at you, but it's not necessarily as dramatic, and you may go along not knowing anything because you're not recognizing the effect these things have on you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, suddenly you're doused in the awareness of the Spirit around you. This could be good, and it could be dangerous. It gives you it gives you the ability to sense, as it were, spiritual things far greater than if you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're basically plugged in to the spirit world. And so you're more in tune to a literal receiving the transmissions from the spiritual world. Basically, the idea of it is now you can speak in a language that God understands, that Satan doesn't or can't do anything about. Because if you speak in a world language, then Satan understands what you're saying. And lots of people baptized in the Holy Spirit will speak in an earthly language. But there's heavenly languages or other language that's nothing to do with anything that is a known language. But it's a language, nevertheless. And this is the ability to communicate in the Spirit, so it bypasses your understanding, so you could pray truly in an accurate type of prayer, and you can have the Holy Spirit aid you in prayer to make intercession, because if you try to do it in your language, English or something, you got all this hang-ups with your ideas getting involved in your praying for something, this, that, the other. You want to pray for it the way you want it instead of the way that it is. And so getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit will give you access to more things. Satan pushes God buttons, so you could feel like God is there when it's actually Satan. That's why you need the Bible. If you're going to say something because you really feel God's telling you, but you can't find in the Bible, then you can't go around saying it's God. But anyway, time's starting to run out. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is really neat because it empowers you. It gives you the ability to make intercessory prayer for others and in private to God about your deepest needs that you can't seem to express in English very well or your language. And so then you can also find that many people can actually, you can lay hands on somebody and they can be healed. You can lay hands on yourself, you can be healed. It doesn't work by magic. Doesn't happen all the time. But anyway, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins. A simple prayer gets you saved. Ask Jesus now to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You will have the initial evidence of speaking in another language. See you next week.